Hi, it's Cliff Goldmacher of EducatedSongwriter.com, and you're listening to Jazz Spotlight with Jan Ilunga.
Episode 75.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey everybody, what's up? Jan Ilunga here with the 75th episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. Back after a great solo session, episode 74, where I talked about productivity tips for musicians. I gave out some recommendations that can help you really move forward, things you can do daily, weekly, monthly. So if you want to learn more about that, make sure to check the last episode. I like doing solo sessions, but I love having guests on the podcast. As you can tell, I'm really social and I'm super excited about today's guest. Today we talk about the business and craft of songwriting, and we're joined by musician, producer, recording artist, the founder of EducatedSongwriter.com, Cliff Goldmacher. He's here today to tell us more about all the great things he does and to give out some valuable tips. Before we get started with the interview, I want to remind you that on April 1st, I'm going to be co-hosting the webinar Twitter Made Easy with Madeline Sklar at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You can sign up completely for free at thejazzspotlight.com/twitter-easy. Make sure to sign up and get your questions ready, because there's going to be a Q&A so you can ask questions that matter to you. Again, go to thejazzspotlight.com/twitter-easy. Okay, like always, you find the links to everything Cliff and I talk about in this episode at thejazzspotlight.com/episode75. Here is the business and craft of songwriting with Cliff Goldmacher. Hey everybody, I hope you're having a great day. And if you're interested in songwriting, if you want to learn more about the business and the and craft of songwriting, you're at the right place. And what a guest we have joining us here today. He has over 20 years of experience in the music industry. He's a songwriter, he's a producer, session musician, an engineer, an author, and he's also the owner of recording studios in Nashville, Tennessee and Sonoma, California. And he's the guy behind the great website educatedsongwriter.com, a website that tells you pretty much everything there is to know about the business and craft of songwriting. It's with great pleasure that I welcome on the show Cliff Goldmacher. Hey Cliff, how's it going?
Very well, Jan. Nice to be here.
Awesome. Cliff, the first thing I have to tell you, you're a very busy man. You really do it all, man.
That is the illusion that I try to show.
No, you know, the first thing after paying you compliments about how busy you are, I have to talk about EducatedSongwriter.com. We were talking with you before we started this conversation, how we connected online, and I told you that when I checked your website, I was completely blown away. So I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about your musical background and why you started EducatedSongwriter.com.
Sure. So my background actually began as a songwriter and a producer in Nashville. I moved to Nashville in the early 90s and gradually over time learned the craft of songwriting by all of the wonderful songwriters that were around me. I did a lot of songwriting collaboration. And at the same time was busy building up my studio and my clientele. And I got to the place after about 12 years of living in Nashville that I was ready for a little change. So I moved to New York City. And for another 5 years, I had a recording studio in New York as well. And being exposed to all kinds of different artist communities and songwriters was really a wonderful way to learn about songwriting and learn about music and lots of different styles of music. And then it was when I moved to California finally that I decided I actually had an opinion about these things. and thought that it might be useful to start a website to kind of help younger songwriters and inexperienced songwriters just understand not only a little bit more about the actual nuts and bolts of writing a song, but the thing that I think is the most scary for a lot of people beginning in music is understanding what is actually going on in the industry. Mm-hmm. And because I'd had the benefit of doing this for a number of years, I felt like maybe I could help demystify some of the fears and some of the unknowns about the music industry as it relates to songwriters. So that was really the genesis of the Educated Songwriter website.
Awesome. And guys, if you want to learn more about, you know, the musical career of Cliff, you can find the detailed bio at cliffgoldmaker.com. And like every episode, you find the links to everything Cliff and I cover in this episode in the show notes. So the links to the websites and everything else you find there in the show notes. And Cliff, on educatedsongwriter.com, I remember, obviously, you have so many great posts, you have webinars, you have a free ebook that we will talk about later on. But there was a post that really, you know, struck me in particular. And it was, I think you talked about different ways to build a reputation as a songwriter. And what I really liked about the post is the fact that if we think about the music industry, oftentimes some songwriters, they don't get the praise that I think they should get, they deserve. So I wanted to talk about that first. Do you have any recommendations for the listeners on how they can start build a reputation as a songwriter?
Well, you know, so much of a career in songwriting is about patience. And I know firsthand how incredibly difficult it is to stay patient when you're passionate about what you do. Mm-hmm. So when I put together that particular blog post, the one you're talking about building your reputation, it's based on, if there were an overarching concept, it's the idea of taking a deep breath and being patient and really paying attention to every aspect of your songwriting. So a couple of the things that I talk about are, first of all, writing quality material, right? So this, mm-hmm. this should go saying on some level, but you should be at a point in your career where you feel confident that the songs that you're writing, before you start to get them out in the world, I mean, you should feel confident that they're at a level that you feel comfortable representing yourself as a songwriter. And ultimately, and this is pretty important, you have to believe this yourself. It's not about what other people tell you. When we start writing songs, we're so desperate for other people's praise that mm-hmm. we tend to give it too much weight. And at the end of the day, you're the one, as the songwriter, who has to believe in your own material. So when I say write quality material, what I really mean is you, as a songwriter, believe that the material that you are writing is at a level that you can be proud of. And look, we would all like to be there from our first song on, but it never really works. It takes some time. I think of songwriting as a muscle. And the more that you do it, the stronger you get. Beyond writing good material, I feel like a large part of being recognized as a pro is how you present your songs. Mm-hmm. These days, I think more than ever, because the ability to have very high quality recording equipment for relatively low cost, the quality of the sorts of song demos that are being shown to people in the music industry is very high. And even though, strictly speaking, a song is just a melody and a lyric, a song has nothing to do with the production. Still, more often than not, people in the industry, whether they're aware of it or not, tend to make judgments based on the quality of the recording of the song as well. Mm-hmm. So your song demo, and by demo, I mean your demonstration, right? You're demonstrating your song. It should have a certain professional polish. Otherwise, you're really running the risk of cutting yourself off at the knees before you've even had a chance to show someone your song. They're making a judgment, fair or not. And really, it's not fair, but they're making a judgment based on just the quality of the recording. And then there are other things that are general life skills as much as they are songwriting skills, but making sure that you're comfortable meeting people and getting to know people in your industry. You know, they use that terrible word networking, which I think adds so much stress to the equation, because everybody thinks, oh, networking means you have to go to all of these events and be on your best behavior. Networking really means that when you meet people in the industry, you treat them with respect and don't force your agenda on them. And over time, and really the key, since I talked about patience earlier, over time, these relationships bear fruit. So being comfortable getting to know people in the industry and not assuming that you have to get everything done right away makes a big difference. I also think that being able to take criticism well is important. It's not fun. Nobody likes to be told their song children aren't perfect. But the reality is that you know, this is a subjective art form. And if you're hoping that someone in the industry will like your song, they may have some opinions about what they're looking for. My recommendation is, if you agree with it, or even if you don't, just listen to the comments and then make a decision later on your own whether or not you feel like that's something that you feel comfortable considering in terms of changing your song or not. You don't have to agree with anything anyone says, but you do have to be gracious when someone in the industry offers you criticism. You know, there are a couple of other little things when it comes to building your reputation. I think that when it comes to showing your songs to people, less is more. Mm-hmm. I remember early on, I was just so excited about all of my songs that anytime there was a pitch opportunity of any sort, I think I would try and show them every song I'd ever written. It's an instinct, and it's not necessarily a healthy one. And when I teach workshops, what I tell my songwriters is, look, imagine you're a record label executive, and it's the end of the day, and you have two CDs left on your desk that you're supposed to listen to. And one of them has one song on it for the project that you're looking for songs for, and the other one has 19 songs on it. Which one do you think you're going to pick up? And that's sort of the reality. You know, I think we have to be very careful as songwriters to be very, very specific about what song we send to whom and for what project, and not give people bonus songs just because we're excited about them. You know, it's a tendency, and I'm as guilty as the next guy. When I got started, I just couldn't help but show everybody everything. And that isn't necessarily the best way to go. Oh, go ahead, Jan.
Sorry, Cliff. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that, and this is something that you really cover in depth in the free ebook, The Songwriter's Guide to Recording Professional Demos. Guys, as I said earlier, you find the links to the ebook as well as everything Cliff and I talk about in the show notes. And I really wanted to mention it because I think it's a great resource that you make available for free to anybody who wants to learn more about songwriting. But yeah, sorry, Cliff, that I cut you off. You were about to say something.
Oh, not at all. And just a quick note. I have two ebooks on my site. Mm-hmm. One is The Songwriter's Guide to Recording Professional Demos. And that one, because it comes with a lot of audio examples, that one, there's a free sample of the ebook. And then the ebook is for sale, but I have another ebook which is entirely free called The Songwriter's Handbook. So they're both on the website, but one of them is a sample and the other is the entire book.
Oh, okay, perfect. Thanks for making that clear. My bad, guys. Anyways, as I said, you find the links to everything in the show notes so you can access the content there very easily. And you gave us so much food for thoughts already, Cliff, that, you know, even if we were to wrap up the episode here, there would be so many takeaways. But I wanted to ask you something about what to do before recording the demo, because you talked about things that, you know, are related to some extent on doing, you know, on what to do before. You talked about the importance of practicing and being confident in what you do. You talked about the networking aspect of, you know, of being a songwriter and being a musician, the importance of being receptive of criticism. It's not that you have to accept it, but at least to take it in, to, you know, to take a minute or two to think about that, the feedback that you get, and then decide whether you want to change the things you do based on that or not. So Cliff, what do you think are some of the things the listeners should keep in mind and they should do before they start recording their demos?
You know, it's a great question. And the first one that I'm going to recommend, the first suggestion that I'm going to make sounds almost crazy. But I've seen this running a recording studio. I've seen this so many times. I feel the need to mention it. Before you go in to record your song demo, you should make sure your song is finished. And what I mean by this is, and I understand because when I first started writing songs, when I thought my song was almost there, I got so excited that all I wanted to do was make a great recording of it. So, you know, I would start to record and then I'd realize, oh, right, I had forgotten to finish the second verse, or mm-hmm. there was some melody that I wasn't very comfortable with. And yet I was so excited, I just wanted to run into the studio right away and make the recording. So my general recommendation, first of all, is just to be absolutely certain that the song is finished. And look, I'm a songwriter. I understand. Our songs are never finished, right? There's always something that we're supposed to be fixing on our songs. But you will get to a point where you feel like, okay, I've done everything I can, everything within my power at the present time, and I feel like the song is as finished as it is going to be. That is the time to think about a demo, not when you're almost done and you figure you'll just get to the studio and finish it up in the studio when the clock is running. I have had the dubious honor of being paid an hourly rate to watch someone write a song. And while it's not a problem for me, I can't imagine as a songwriter, that's where you want to be spending your money. So make sure the song is done. And one of the little tips and tricks that I recommend, and this is another thing to think about before you demo, is I always make a rough recording of my song and listen back to it the way an audience member would listen. And what I mean by a rough recording is sing it into your smartphone and listen to it back, or sing it into your computer and listen to it back. I don't mean go to the studio and make a rough recording. This is a very simple play it and sing it live and just record it so that you can hear it. And the reason that I recommend this is twofold. One, you could have a song that you have been playing for years, but you've always performed it, so you've never really had a chance to listen to it as an audience member would. The moment that you stop and just listen instead of performing it, it is amazing to me what happens in terms of your ability to notice what isn't quite working in your lyric or how your melody maybe doesn't quite deliver the way you thought it did. So just the very act of being an audience member for your own song can reveal flaws that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. And the secondary benefit for this rough recording is once you've got a rough recording that you feel like represents the finished song and is accurate, you can use that in the recording studio to show the session musicians and the demo singers how the song is supposed to go. You know, a lot of people think, oh, it's okay, I'll just go into the studio with my acoustic guitar and I'll sing the song for them in the studio and it'll be fine. The problem is the studio is stressful. And when you get to the studio, all of a sudden you, for some reason, you can't remember how your melody went exactly or what your exact lyric was. All the more reason why if you just have that rough recording, it makes things so much easier for everyone. They have something that they can refer to. It's just a very simple process. So those are a few things that I recommend before you go in to do a demo.
And Cliff, do you have, you talked about, for example, recording the song on your, the rough version of the song on the computer or the smartphone. And for the computer, I know that there is a free app, a free software called Audacity that guys, you can download. It's completely for free and it works for both PC and Mac that you can record the audio. You can do also some editing. But I wanted to ask you, Cliff, if you use a specific app, for example, on your smartphone for recording, is there something you use and recommend or?
Sure. I have an iPhone and one of the free apps on the iPhone is the little recording app. There's a little note app where you can make little recordings. I'm looking on my phone now. It's called Voice Memos.
Yeah,
that's what I use. It could not be simpler. And remember, everybody out there who's about to agonize over making the best rough recording in the world, there is no Grammy for the best rough recording. So it's not something you have to work on. It's really just to make sure that your melody and your lyric and the chord changes are clear. That's all that's really required of a rough recording.
And Cliff, you talked about how you, as songwriter, and you know, obviously songwriters more in general, you always have at least a couple of songs that you know you have been working on forever, and you have never finished them. And I know that you've written a post actually where you really talk about ways to finish this song that you have been working on forever. So, do you want to share a few of those here with us?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's funny. We have these songs, and we just sort of, we never quite figure out what it is that is missing. So one of the first things I recommend, and again, this has a lot to do with the way that I grew up and educated myself as a songwriter, which was in Nashville. So one of the very first things that I would recommend to people is think about bringing in a collaborator. You know, sometimes we just get stuck on our songs. And by finding a co-writer or a collaborator, you've got another point of view. Now, granted, you're giving up a percentage of your ownership of the song to bring in someone else to help you. Mm-hmm. But as I've heard said so many times, 100% of nothing is nothing. So, you know, sometimes just bringing in a co-writer can really make a big difference. Another thing that I recommend is if you're really stuck, you can submit your song for a professional song critique. And sometimes a song critique, you know, somebody who's very experienced in songwriting and has been there before, so to speak, can give you some insight into maybe areas that you're not examining when it comes to finishing up the song. Because professional critiques usually cost money, one of the other things that you can do is if you have a songwriting group, in other words, a group of your friends or other songwriters that you get together with on a semi-regular basis, that's a great place to play a song that isn't quite finished, because that also allows you to get some outside perspective without maybe involving a co-writer if you do feel like it's important that you keep 100% of the copy.
Yeah. No, and Cliff, I want to ask you about you talked about what having a co-writer can do, how it can really help, you know, wrapping up and finish the song that you have been working on forever. And I'm sure that some of the listeners are wondering a bit about the kind of the do's and don'ts of copywriting, of, you know, kind of the challenges or the common mistakes songwriters make when it comes to co-writing. So what do you have for us in that sense?
Yeah, so co-writing is a very interesting thing. I think for some people, it's a very scary prospect, this idea of opening up this very personal process of writing a song, and all of a sudden you're going to do this with someone else. It can be a little bit intimidating, but there are so many wonderful, at least in my experience, there have been so many wonderful advantages to co-writing. So one of the first things that I recommend if you're not an experienced co-writer is decide in advance whether you and your future collaborator are going to start cold, in other words, with nothing, or if you would both like to bring in like a little snippet of an idea just to sort of put your mind at ease. As a matter of fact, it's funny, I just had this conversation this morning. I'm going to be doing some songwriting with a very gifted jazz drummer who also writes songs, but has never collaborated. And so he was asking me this very question. And what I said to him was, look, you know, I've been doing this for a very long time, so I'm completely comfortable now, 800 co-writes down the road. I'm very comfortable just sitting in a room and talking to someone for a while until an idea presents itself. My antenna are generally up. But for someone who hasn't done this a lot, you know, he said, would it be okay if I were to bring some melody, some melodic ideas? To which I responded, of course, you know, that's great. If that's the sort of thing that puts you at ease, then you can really relax and enjoy the session as opposed to feeling completely on the spot. One of the very biggest things, since I won't go through all of these now, I do have a blog post, like you said, Jan, called The Do's and Don'ts of Co-Writing. Mm-hmm. One of the very most important things that I would say you should keep in mind is to never, under any circumstances, criticize a co-writer's suggestion. Now, This is not to say that your co-writer and you, by the way, aren't going to make some ridiculous suggestions in the process. You know, so much of the process of creation is just throwing out ideas that come to you right on the spot. But if you were, for example, to ever say to your co-writer, that's really a bad idea, or that's stupid, what ends up happening is that it stops the creative flow. Mm-hmm. There are so many more delicate ways of saying, I see where you're going with that. Is there a way we can refine that? Or what if we took that and went here? You know, there's so many ways of taking something that doesn't feel right to you and just gently nudging in another direction. And I'll tell you why this is so important. First of all, it kills the mood in the room if you're critical of someone, because you're already vulnerable as a songwriter when you're putting these ideas out there. And if somebody criticizes it, it just shuts you down. But second of all, and this has happened to me so many more times than I can count, right behind that seemingly ridiculous idea that my co-writer will bring up will be something absolutely brilliant. And if I had been critical or said that first idea was dumb, we would have never gotten to the good one. So just remember to sort of be polite. It sounds obvious, but it's really important in the context of a co-write.
Cliff, you're really rocking this episode. I'm having a great time. And guys, if you're having a great time as well, if you're really getting value out of this conversation with Cliff, make sure to let him know on Twitter. Give him a shout out at Cliff Goldmaker, or simply go to on Twitter, and you can also tweet at Edu Songwriter for the Educated Songwriter Twitter account. So at Cliff Goldmaker or at Edu Songwriter. Make sure to give Cliff a shout out, because he's simply rocking this episode. So Cliff, we have covered quite a lot. We've talked about ways to build a reputation as a songwriter, what to do before recording a demo. You talked about, you know, how to finally finish the song you've been working on forever. You gave out some tips in terms of co-writing, how to do it the smart way, what to think about when looking for a fellow songwriter to collaborate with. And, you know, once our song is finished, is ready to go, how can we pitch it like a pro? I know that you're a pro, you have over 20 years of experience. So I have to ask, I'm sure some of the listeners are like, Jan, just ask him.
So in terms of pitching your songs, and this is important stuff, because, you know, you can do what I refer to as poison the well. If you're not careful or you're not judicious about how you get your songs out there. So I'll give you a very good example. You know, one of the things that I always do when I submit a song for a project is I make absolutely certain that the person who is accepting songs for the project is aware that I am going to be sending them something. Mm-hmm. I don't just send a song randomly to someone and hope that they'll listen when they open their email. So do your homework, find out who is looking, and then ask permission to submit. And by the way, these emails or voicemails, if you're doing that you're sending, are very short and very to the point. So ask permission to submit a song for a certain project. I can almost guarantee you that when you send an email asking for permission, that you will hear nothing back, because that's what happens. Mm-hmm. So anytime I send any kind of email to anyone, I make a note on my calendar to follow up 2 weeks later. And I do this either until I hear back from this person or until I decide I'm never going to hear back from that person, and I just move on. Mm-hmm. So just understand that so much of what we do is about being patient, and it's about being persistent, and it's about being, if I'm going to use another P, it's about being professional. So in other words, make sure that you follow up. Sending a song and not following up, or sending an email and not following up, as far as I'm concerned, is exactly the same as not sending the email or the song in the first place. Nobody responds the first time. But think of all the songwriters out there who send one email and don't follow up, and think about how far ahead of the game you'll be if you do. And I don't mean follow up every 15 minutes. I mean follow up every couple of weeks, just enough to sort of remind the person, you know, more often than not, people in the music industry are just overwhelmed. They don't have anything against you. They don't know you. They can't possibly not like you. They don't know you. So don't take this personally. It's really not about taking it personally. It's just about being patient and being professional and doing your homework and finding out who's looking for what and being very, very targeted in what you send that person.
Cliff, I have to say that I totally agree, and I really want to emphasize the importance of actually taking time and do some research, as you said, to look for, you know, who is actually looking for songs, because that's a mistake we have talked about before on the podcast that I see all the time artists make on social media. I'm sure you see it as well, or even on email, that sometimes I get emails that only by reading the first sentence, I understand that that is the same email they sent to maybe 100 of different blogs, or you know, thinking I'm a record label, thinking I'm a music venue. I'm like, yeah, if you had taken 30 seconds to just look at the website, look about on what I do, you would have understood, you know, who I am and what I'm about. So I really wanted to stress the importance of doing the research. And on your website, on educatedsongwriter.com, you really have a bunch of valuable resources for musicians. You have the posts. We have mentioned some of the posts. You have the free ebook, the songwriters handbook. You have a series of webinars as well, where people can actually get access to a few webinars you have there. And the last question, Cliff, I want to ask you to wrap up this episode is, if you have any word of advice for the listeners in terms of, you know, a few moves they can do to really move their songwriting career forward.
Sure. You know, it can feel so incredibly daunting to all of the things that we have to do, or all the things we don't know we're supposed to be doing just to kind of make some progress. And it's, you know, take it from somebody who's been doing this for a very, very long time. Nothing happens quickly in our business. However, the busier you are every day, the little things that you can do every day will give you peace of mind and give you that momentum. So, for example, one of the things that I tell a lot of beginning songwriters is, make sure you do one business thing every day. Now, a business thing could be as simple as finding an artist that you might at some point want to pitch a song to. Just make some time to do a little research. That's your business thing for the day. It could be anything. But if you do one business thing a day, especially since the business part of songwriting is the part that I and probably almost every other songwriter in the world can't stand, if you force yourself to do one business thing a day, by the end of the week, you've done seven.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, you've done 365 business things, and that really adds up. So that's something that I recommend, is just thinking about this. And I have one of my favorite expressions, and I'm working on a blog post now that has a bunch of my favorite expressions, because I seem to have collected a lot of them. But one of the ones that I like a lot is to eat the elephant one bite at a time. And so the idea of sitting down and eating an elephant sounds absolutely impossible. But if you eat one bite at a time over a period of goodness knows, you will get there. And I feel like a songwriting career is very similar. I feel like all of the little things that you do add up to the point where you reach what I refer to as a critical mass of effort. And then good things start to happen. And when things get good with songwriting, it's very exciting. But it requires a day in and a day out effort with some of the very unromantic, just work kinds of things that you have to do.
Love it. Really inspiring way to wrap up the episode. And guys, the one music business thing you should do today is go to educatedsongwriter.com and sign up for the newsletter so that you get the free ebook and you get more tips on the business and the craft of songwriting from Cliff Goldmaker. Cliff, thank you so much for being here, for this nice conversation, and for telling us more about all the great things you do at educatedsongwriter.com and for telling us a little bit more on the world of songwriting.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. And Jan, thank you. You've really made this fun for me. I really appreciate it.
Great to hear it. Okay, everybody, we are back. Cliff, thank you so much for your contribution to the podcast. I had a great time talking to you. And thank you also for everything you do for songwriters and for people in the music industry more in general. And guys, we mentioned Cliff's free ebook. You'll find the link to it and everything else we have mentioned in the show notes at thejazzspotlight.com/episode75. And I want to wrap up this episode with another announcement. At the beginning, I talked about the upcoming free webinar, Twitter Made Easy, that I'll be co-hosting with Madeline Sklar on April 1st. Again, go to thejazzspotlight.com/twitter-easy to sign up for free. But I want to tell you something about Ross Barber. You maybe remember him. He's a web designer. He was here with us on episode 41. We talked about the anatomy of a band's website. So we really went in depth. And if you're thinking about, you know, redesigning your website or something like that, that is a great episode. But Ross has been nominated for the Independent Music Award in the music website category, so for artists, band, record labels, and so forth, is at electrickiwi.co.uk. Make sure to vote for Ross. Let's make him win the annual Independent Music Award. Let's help him. Go to thejazzspotlight.com/Ross. That's R-O-S-S. Ross, make sure to go there and leave your vote to help Electric Kiwi, aka Ross Barber, win the annual Independent Music Award. It's Jani Lunga, like always. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Have a great weekend, and I'll be back with you next week. Take care.